Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. This week, I'm here with Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Just back from Hitachi in San Diego.
Was that fun?
It was all right, actually. Interesting stuff. Yeah, so got some interesting AI. Their portfolio is a bit difficult to sort of get your head around, but in general, technology-wise, they got some interesting stuff.
Did they talk about trains?
Did they talk about trains? Do you know what? For once, they didn't talk about trains or diggers, which was great.
Makes a change.
Yes, you're not kidding. Anyway, so this week we do have a guest, which is nice. And this week we have Rick Kutsupple joining us. Rick is representing the SCSI Trade Association. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Chris.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. So you don't actually work for the SCSI Trade Association, do you? You have an actual day job.
I do. I'm part of the marketing group within Broadcom.
Excellent. So who better to talk about this sort of technology?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. So as I just mentioned, Rick works for the SCSI Trade Association. And it was thought after the Flash Memory Summit, when Rick and I had a chat and didn't actually publish anything, but we did have a conversation, we thought it would be interesting to talk about the difference between SAS and NVMe, because everybody's saying how great NVMe is and it's going to take hold of the world. But actually, in reality, SAS hasn't gone away at all and is still there. So we thought it would be good to sort of touch on that and work out where SAS sits in that sort of setup and how it's going to be developed going forward.
But surely SAS is dead, Chris.
I don't think it is.
Well, I'm sure we're going to find out then.
I think that's exactly what we're going to do. So first of all, Rick, before you go any further, why not just set the scene for us on who the SCSI Trade Association are and what they do and what their involvement is in terms of standards and so on.
Okay. So the SCSI Trade Association was founded in 1996. It's a 22-year-old industry alliance made up of a variety of storage leaders representing all facets of enterprise storage. The SCSI Trade Association is made up of, we have 18 members, ranging from cable connector vendors to test equipment manufacturers all the way to OEMs.
You're not responsible for any of the standards, though, are you? So that's still T10 committee?
That is T10. So consider the SCSI Trade Association, or we call it STAY, as the marketing arm of T10. T10 is responsible for the creation, the documentation of the actual specification, while the SCSI Trade Association guides the market direction and promotion of the spec. Beyond things like press releases and trade show presence, the SCSI Trade Association is responsible also for coordinating and the execution of the SAS Plugfest.
Ah, yes. Okay. That's a good point. So could you explain that just for a second in case anybody doesn't really understand what a Plugfest is? Because there might be people who don't really know what that means.
Yeah. Plugfest is an industry event where, in this case, the SCSI Trade Association will invite members of the ecosystem, all members of the ecosystem, to join in a testing event where a predetermined test plan is created, and then we all test amongst each other in a broad matrix. Our particular event in the past generations has been held at the University of New Hampshire's Interoperability Lab, and has been a very successful event for the industry.
And this is really just plugging all the devices into each other to see whether they all will interoperate quite successfully or not.
That's correct, right? From the host bus adapters, expanders, cables, drives of all different type. And then it's also supported usually by the test equipment manufacturers, and they will give support for debug, jammers, that type of equipment.
Let's just talk about SAS in a bit more detail. So where did SAS come from? What does it mean? What does SAS stand for? And how does that relate to the sort of storage protocols we've had over the years?
Yeah, that's a good question. So SAS, or Serial Attached SCSI, as the nested acronym stands for, is a point-to-point serial protocol that moves data to and from storage devices. So pretty simple. SAS was conceived by key ecosystem partners in the late 1990s as the natural successor to parallel SCSI. 3 gigabit per second SAS was the first version of SAS, and it was productized and launched in 2004.
Martin, from your perspective, you must bear the scars just like the rest of us of having to use parallel SCSI.
Oh, I remember parallel SCSI. It's a wonderful thing. Things with terminators, leaving your terminator off, fuses blowing. Wow. Those were the days. Those were when storage admins were really tough people. We knew about these things.
Low voltage differential, high voltage differential.
Yeah.
If you didn't get the right type, you'd be blowing up your device.
Oh, those big old Centronics type plugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thankfully, Rick, we've moved on since then with SAS.
Right. And so one of the innovations on top of parallel SCSI then was serial attached SCSI, where we used a serial transport like we see in most storage high-speed applications.
It's actually quite a small connector, isn't it? It's like, like plugging in, not quite a USB, but that sort of thing. It's quite a small, quite subtle connection.
It is. And there are numerous connectors. There's an internally defined connector and an externally defined connector. Typically, they come in by fours or quads, and they are very dense.
So 3 was the initial starting point. You know, we've gone through 6, we've gone through 12. We've seen the performance, or at least the throughput of the interface, go up pretty consistently.
Correct. So with SAS 1, we ran at 3 gigabits per second. SAS 2, the physical interface of SAS 2, was 6 gigabits per second. SAS 3 was 12 gigabits per second. And now we're on the cusp of launching SAS 4, which will be 24 gig.
Okay. We'll come back to the 24 gig speed in a second. But obviously, just looking at the way it's gone, performance-wise, we pretty much needed to keep increasing the speed of the protocol simply because as we moved to solid-state media, you would find that the interface was a restricting factor.
Correct. Performance is very important to us. And like you mentioned, we have been doubling it on a regular cadence.
So what do we typically use SAS for, you know, in the data center? I would think the obvious thing here is hard drives and SSDs, but SCSI is for a lot more than just that sort of standard media, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. It can be used as the back-end connection from the RAID controller host adapter to the end media, the drives, and expanded through an expander. But it also can be used on the front end as a network.
How would you use it in that mode, if you like?
So host bus adapters on both sides, one would be in initiator mode and one would be in a target mode and show up essentially like a disk drive does in target mode and can go over, you know, a relatively good distance with up to 10 meters with copper cables and up to 300 meters with optical cables.
Okay, and we're not talking here about fiber channel or any other sort of protocol like that sitting on top. That's point-to-point native, is it?
That is. That's absolutely correct.
I must admit, I don't think I'd ever heard of that as an option, to be honest.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's a great extension to the technology. A lot of times people think of SAS as inside the box or box-to-box within a rack, but it also has the capability of going, you know, throughout the data center.
Here's the multi-million dollar question, or the $60 million question, and that's everybody's talking about NVMe and saying that NVMe is going to take over and SAS isn't going to be, well, I wouldn't say they're not saying SAS is going to have a future because that would be unfair, but certainly they're seeing SAS as being stepping back and NVMe taking over in its entirety. But it doesn't seem to me that that necessarily has to be the case.
No, Chris, and in fact, you know, we see the technologies as fairly complementary. As they exist today, SAS has a definite value proposition when it comes to storage protocol. NVMe is a much newer, fresher look at a storage protocol, but we got to remember the key value propositions of SAS, and that is its fundamental reliability. SAS has been used as a enterprise storage interconnect for a number of years and has proven its reliability. Its scalability. Right, that cannot be underestimated, the scalability of SAS. And that's not only in the number of devices or number of drives it can support, which can, you know, actually be up to 16,000 in practical applications. It's more on the 1,000 to 2,000 range, but also the distance. I link distance into scalability as well, as we just discussed, right, that we can achieve distances with copper cables up to 10 meters and then much, much further with optical cables. And then lastly, the fundamental flexibility of SAS, right? It not only supports SAS hard drives, but SAS SSDs. And then don't forget SATA, right? SATA fits within the SAS protocol using part of the SAS infrastructure. So we can now support SAS HDDs as well as SATA SSDs.
So that's really quite an important factor, really, because not everybody's going to be moving towards NVMe SSDs. There's bound to be a smaller or rather a value end of the market where potentially high capacity, lower performance SSDs will fit. And it makes sense, I guess, in that instance, to be looking at SATA as an option.
Right. SATA is still going to play an important role within the enterprise, especially in the capacity space.
Yeah. So from your perspective, Martin, if you look at an array itself, like a traditional storage array, most of those are still SAS at the back end. And unless there's a compelling reason in terms of performance, it doesn't strike me as it really makes a lot of sense to change that when you want to keep that level of reliability we have today?
Well, no. I mean, so you look at things. So obviously, the new boys on the block are NVMe backend arrays, but most of those certainly cost more. So if you're looking for something which is bulk, or which seems weird talking about bulk when you start talking about SSDs, but it is a case where they're coming down in price and you're starting to think of them as your standard tier one. So your standard tier one may well be a SAS array. Obviously, you're still going to be, or most of the time, you're still going to be talking fiber channel out the front end. I think fiber channel still has a dominant place in the data center for interface between your servers and your arrays. We like to think fiber channel might go away, but I'm not seeing the evidence entirely at the moment. Yeah, so SAS and NVMe and SATA are going to coexist within enterprise data centers for years to come, I suspect.
Yeah, I agree. Especially at the array level, where without a doubt, top-end, high-performance, possibly not scalable, but certainly very low latency would be the right route for NVMe, but it makes sense to have that differentiating factor and have another solution that allows you to build an array that's still going to be cost competitive and be able to deal with larger drives and all that sort of stuff. I think that makes complete sense. That aside, we still need to keep that level of performance going, I would think, Rick. So you mentioned 24 gig SAS and the fact that that's coming up in the future.
Right. The spec is now functionally complete. And this, when I say the spec, right, there's a physical layer spec that identifies the 24 gig, you know, physical layer. But then there are also pieces on top of that that define the higher levels of the protocol and even above that. Those are complete today. And development is ongoing on those devices. And actually, some are actually sampling today. And the SCSI Trade Association is planning on a plug fest in the middle of 2019.
Okay, so we're not quite there yet with it. It's imminent, shall we say?
Right.
Okay, good. So apart from the obvious speed bump, which each time obviously has been a doubling, and this time we're looking at 24 gig. That's gigabits, of course, not gigabytes. Are there any other changes or optimizations we're seeing in the protocol that gives improvements across the interfaces?
Yeah, so let's start at the physical layer. So beyond the doubling of the bandwidth, like you just touched on, there are a couple other fundamental pieces that have been worked on. The first one is the encoding scheme. SAS has moved from an 8B/10B encoding scheme to a more efficient 128/130B encoding scheme. This is common across the industry. You'll see other serial protocols and transports using this same scheme, going to a more efficient scheme, less overhead in the transmission. The second thing is we have added 20 bits of forward error correction based on a Reed-Solomon algorithm to enhance our channel attributes, right? We realize that running at these rates, the signal integrity issues become more and more difficult. So in order to maintain the reliability expectations of our enterprise customers, we've added this 20 bits of forward error correction, which can correct errors on the wire. And then the other one I usually like to point out is what I call continuous training or continuous transmitter training. It's really called APTA within T10. And this is a means of transmitter training, but it can happen on live data real time. So it's not just a one-time set SerDes settings and move on. We can constantly be updating our SerDes settings to make sure that we have an optimum transmitter setting. So those are the basic ones on the physical layer side. On the protocol side, to align with this increase in bandwidth, we've added a number of things. One, I call it storage intelligence. It's a group of enhancements focused on non-volatile memory. I'm just calling them SSDs, right? We've implemented some things like background garbage collection, streaming. Streaming is very important, and this improves SSD efficiencies. And then something we call persistent connections, where we open a specific connection within SAS and then leave it open. We don't open and close, because that open and close then requires extra bandwidth and it shows up as latency. So we can open a connection and leave it open for some period of time. Another thing that we've added is what we call fairness. Fairness within the topology, it addresses quality of service for concerns for large topologies. So if you have a very large or deep topology, to make sure that you have the optimum settings within that array to be able to give you the fairness that your array requires. And finally, something more focused on management. We call it SMP priorities, where we give our management communication priority in more complex topologies to make sure that management commands don't get swamped out by large amounts of data so that we can manage the array efficiently.
So do these changes come into the SCSI protocol, or is it very specifically serial attached SCSI that gets this set of enhancements?
So mostly serial attached SCSI, so it would be SAS. It's all done within T10, so it fits under that same umbrella. Some of the higher level protocol pieces, like the block commands and the zone block commands, things like that, all get modified as well.
Okay, so we should see, theoretically, not just from a straightforward host perspective, but certainly within traditional storage arrays, we should see some general improvement in their performance just simply by using the newer protocol version.
Right, that's absolutely correct.
Okay. So Martin, from your perspective, do you actually look at that level of detail when you're buying a new product? Would you specifically talk to the vendor about their view on how they've actually used the next version of SAS?
Often not. We probably won't look in detail. We may have a discussion about speeds and feeds. So it may be, okay, do you support 24 gig? Do you support 12? At the moment, obviously, it's mostly 12. We don't tend to dig down into the details. I think this is probably more of a vendor conversation where vendors are looking at how they implement it in their back end. So it's an interesting subject. It's not something which is going to drive buying decisions, certainly for the bulk of people. I suppose at the high end or some niche players, it will be a buying decision, but not for me, I'm afraid.
I would have said the similar sort of thing. I probably wouldn't have questioned the step up, because I don't think I've ever seen any issues come along when we've migrated between 3, 6, 12 in terms of how it's been implemented in the array. But having said that, if I'd known that there were potential improvements, as in some of those performance improvements and so on, I might at least have questioned the vendor and said, what else can I expect you're going to deliver to me for that upgrade to 24 gig?
Yeah, true. I mean, so it's interesting to know there is protocol improvements. So you'd say, beyond just the doubling in throughput, what else am I going to see? So we know there have been changes to the T10 before, which in theory have delivered benefits to us. So it's certainly worth keeping an eye on, just even if it's worth keeping your vendor, your supplier sharp to ask them questions about the T10 protocol, which bits you're going to support, which bits you're not going to support, are you fully compliant? But it is more of a tick box exercise, I think, for a lot of users.
Yeah, I think, Rick, it's interesting from our side that we possibly, like as we just said, we possibly wouldn't have been quite specific on that. And maybe that's a recognition of a certain degree of reliability in the protocol rather than being a deficit in the protocol in any way.
Right. That's an interesting perspective, and I appreciate that.
And I think it's true as well, because if you look at it, it would just be assumed that every time we've had the bump up, it would just work. I've never ever questioned it and thought, oh no, you know, we have to be careful here, or we need to go through interoperability testing. That's never been on my list of issues, I have to say.
Yeah, no, and it's very important, right? Especially at the OEM or the data center implementation perspective, right? That becomes very important. Another thing that, you know, we haven't touched on that goes along with this is some of the enhancements in T10 at large to optimize for some emerging technologies like shingled magnetic recording, dual actuator drives. You know, a lot of people forget about these things. It's not in the main spotlight, but it's the things driving HDD performance, HDD capacity, for instance, and those are also being intercepted within T10.
Okay, that's really interesting, because from that perspective, that isn't necessarily all about the protocol improvement in terms of speed, is it? So would those changes come in, irregardless, but I don't think irregardless is an actual word. Would those changes come in regardless of the speed improvement? Would they be sort of introduced a different way?
So that's one fundamental change we made in 12 gig SAS. 12 gigabit per second SAS, was that we separated the physical layer from the protocol layer, the block layer, you know, the different pieces of architecture of the stack, so that changes like this could be made and intercepted without a fundamental change in the physical layer, for instance. So some of these commands to support newer versions of SMR and the dual actuator drives, things like that, are going to come regardless of 24 gig. They are going to come at the higher level, at SPC, at ZBC layers of the stack.
I think, Martin, those will be interesting to see how they're implemented, because potentially those, to me, seem like a slight deviation from where we used to be, where you would think the protocol was just talking to a device with simple read and write commands. But now we're talking about actually understanding what the media is in a bit more detail.
Yeah, I very much agree.
So in summary then, thinking about where we are then, Rick, where would you sort of position SAS, SATA, NVMe? You know, what would customers need to consider? And is there a... is there a way that people can actually look at it and say, how will these protocols coexist in the future?
Yeah, so the first comment is the fact that we have three protocols within the enterprise, three legitimate protocols within the enterprise today. I see this as stressing the system, and it's from Broadcom's perspective, from the OEM's perspective, it's difficult, right? So it's an investment, it's support, it is difficult. And so that still has to play out. I believe the SCSI Trade Association believes that NVMe definitely has a place within the enterprise. It has proven itself, and it's emerging as a high performance, low latency interconnect. But in the answer to your question, what should customers be looking at? They should be looking at things like, you know, what are their objectives? Is it, you know, high performance, low latency, non-persistent storage? Or is it all about reliability, the scalability, and the flexibility of their deployments, right? Where SaaS would be the right choice.
I think I would agree with you. I think, as you say, the scalability side of it versus the speed and performance, they can be very different protocols for different uses. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. So if people want to follow up and find more information, obviously the SCSI Trade Association STAR, I think you called it, must have a website. Where can people go and find more details?
Yeah, no, Chris, that's a great one. So they can go to www.scsita.org.
Okay.
And we have all the recent press releases. We have all the release, all the upcoming events that we're participating in. We have a newsletter. You can sign up for our newsletter there that shares quarterly updates on where things are. And it's going to get really important as we get closer to 24 gig.
So, Rick, what about social media? Can we follow SCSI Trade Association on Twitter or something like that?
Absolutely. Our Twitter handle is @SaaS_storage. And we do try to promote SaaS. We make sure we are in front of any speaking opportunities, trade show events. Whenever there's a press release, we always make sure it comes out on that handle.
Wonderful. Okay. Thanks, Rick. That's been really interesting just to get into something a bit different today. And hopefully when the 24 gig stuff does come out, we can get you back to have a chat about that at that point.
Perfect. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, so thanks everybody for listening. As usual, you can find us on Twitter @StorageUnpacked. You can find us at storageunpacked.com on the web. And of course, you can find us on LinkedIn. So until next time, guys, thanks very much. Talk to you soon.